Hi, everyone. I'm Brené Brown, and I'd love to tell you about my podcast, Dare to Lead. Innovation, creativity, building a better, more just world, all of these things require absolutely courageous leadership, especially given the complexity and chaos of the world right now. The Dare to Lead podcast is a collection of conversations with change catalysts, culture shifters, some troublemakers, folks who are really daring to create and change the world. I hope you join us.
I'm worried about Death Stranding. It's a bold new vision, a great new genre, but I'm worried it's going to flop because it doesn't have a good tagline. Only tagline so far is it's the world's first Strand game. And as we all know, that doesn't fucking mean anything. So how I'm going to float this one by you guys, and you let me know if this is going to, you know, move the product. But you're going to have a whale of a time because this one has bad whales in it.
Are they bad? They just, ooh. I don't know. They're covered in oil.
It's
they
some
seem
of the
like
worst
they need help.
Whales. Here's a list of bad video game whales. Obviously, top of the list, that's Sonic the Hedgehog for Dreamcast 1. A real ding-dong, I think we can all agree. Then
what,
we have
about,
these inky nightmare whales.
You're in for a good time.
That's good.
Yeah, because there's a lot of pee-pee.
This time, Norman Reedus is pissed off, and he's pissing on the bad whales. I'd buy that game.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I'm Norman Reedus.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I've seen an unconscionable bout of nude Norman Reedus this month.
My name is Chris Plant, and when I die, my body will explode and destroy half of civilization.
My name is Russ Frostick, and I am brought to you by Monster Energy Drink.
Welcome back to The Besties, where we talk about the latest and greatest in home video gaming. If I may, if I may be so bold, we are here to talk about the latest gift from Kojima, if I may, on behalf of me and all the other fans. He's graced us once again with a new gift. It's Death Stranding.
This may be the first episode in our sort of reboot here. So you may be wondering, are all the episodes that we have from here on out, is it like a big part of the 2.0 Besties ethos? Talking about Norman Reedus's poopy and pee-pee and blood and
the answer is
all that
strong
stuff.
Yes.
The answer is yes. So Pokemon, yes. I'm gonna find a way to talk about Norman Reedus's poo-poo bombs in there. Hey guys, I've been looking forward to this one.
Have you?
Yeah, this was a wild video gaming experience for me, the likes of which I have not had in my life. And this was such a gift. Thank you, Kojima,
for
this.
Since you've been looking forward to this, I'm going to offer you the very, very special opportunity of trying to summarize what this game is in under 20 seconds.
Death Stranding is Metal Gear with not as good... Hey, let me start over. I want my seconds back. Hey, everybody, did you play Metal Gear Solid 5, the Phantom Pain?
Yes.
Did you have a good time with that?
Yeah, it was great.
What if there were ghosts that could make you stop for a while, and also all your guns were heavy and real, and also there was a baby crying, which is cool when you have an actual child, and Norman Reedus had, I mentioned the poopy yeah. bombs, so that's good. You throw those at ghosts. Let me start over. I can do even better than that.
Wow, okay. Even better than that? It doesn't seem possible.
Instead of big robots that are maybe actually hive mind controlling the government, what if they were ghosts that you had to throw your piss at? That's Death Stranding.
Okay.
What's impressive is you did not mention that also your mother slash maybe daughter slash aunt cousin is the president of the United States.
You're your own grandpa, and you have special blood. Man, this is a good game. Wow.
So it's a very good video game, and that's the important thing. And I think, how far are we going to go in terms of talking about the story?
Can I explain what people, the name, like what that even means?
Yeah, I've played 20 hours of it, and I would love to hear this.
So this took me a while, and I had to write the review for Polygon, and that, like, just narrowing this down into, like, a parsable format took a good 3 hours, so appreciate it, if you will. Okay, so there was an event called the Death Stranding. What that was is ghosts showed up. The ghosts killed someone, that person mm-hmm. turned into a ghost and then exploded at the same time. That explosion caused other ghosts to show up. They killed other people and caused even more people to show up, and everyone exploded and became ghosts.
It was dope.
Yeah, it was pretty dope.
It was dope stuff. I'll say this about...
Well, just to clarify, when you say explosion, give us an idea of the scale.
Okay, here. So according to the game, and you can actually witness this in the game if you want to, the explosion is like probably like 3 acres, I want to say. It's like a good-sized explosion. It's not a nuke. It's not like a huge nuke. It's like a city block is what I would describe it as.
Okay, the size of the explosion, it's not especially relevant. We have not.
I mean, it was the people caught by the ghosts, if I'm asking.
Yeah, they didn't enjoy it.
They cared.
Wow. Wow, Griffin. Wow, Griffin.
It's post-apocalypse. The ghost world blended into our world. It was very bad, and now you're Norman Reedus, and you have to carry packages from city to city and bring the whole country back together. And that's why it's a Strand game, is because in this one, it's not about hurting people. Although you definitely do that.
You do.
It's about bringing us all back together. It's a Strand game, so you carry packages from place to place in this post-apocalyptic America.
Okay, so Griffin, you did a great job with your 5 shots at trying to describe the game in 20 seconds. Justin, I know that you've been enjoying the game. Maybe you can describe what you actually do in this game in 20 to 30
well,
seconds.
Well, Griffin kind of alluded to it, but the main thrust of it is... You are the game. If you want to know I listened to a lot of podcasts about this game before I played it, and I still could not make heads or tails of it. So I'm going to give you my best. It is a game about traversing terrain. That is what the game is at its core about. Pretty much everything is in service of that. That means one, managing your cargo. You're taking cargo from place to place, giving people what they need and trying to deliver it safely. And the second big component of that is the terrain itself, by which I mean you're bringing ladders, you're bringing climbing ropes, stuff like that, to help you get across difficult terrain. And eventually, as you get vehicles, we're talking like bridges, generators to keep those vehicles charged, whatever. And sort of what I think is one of the cooler hooks is, as you build things in the environment, those items can show up in other players' worlds and vice versa. And you can leave likes for that equipment, and so can they, which is a sort of currency.
It's like experience points,
essentially. But it's like experience points, basically, yeah, that help you advance in the game.
I want to mention one thing, because you mentioned like you can build stuff in the other worlds and it shows up. One of the coolest things that I didn't realize until I was like 30 hours in is... It's not only stuff that you build that shows up in other people's games, it's places you go. So if you end up walking down the same like set of rocks for a long period of time, that set of rocks will get worn down into an actual path that other people can follow. So even if you're not trying to make stuff to appear in other people's worlds, it does. It's like...
There's a level of technical achievement in this game that is like staggering and super impressive. I mentioned the ghosts that show up, the beached things, the BTs, and there are sequences in the game where you have your little baby and he's got a little robot arm that will like look at the ghosts, and that's really your main way of knowing where they are. So there are sequences where you have to sneak past them using the cues from your baby's robot arm. God, this game kicks ass. If you get caught, then this big monster whale shows up, and every time that happens, and let me say also, I hate this and it's annoying and it sucks, but every time it happens, the world kind of like terraforms around you in a way that is like technologically super impressive. And if you die to one of these things and one of those explosions, the 3 acre explosions that Russ talked about happens, that stays there. Like that stays in the world, and the next time you come through, there's a big smoking crater in the ground. That is like that level of permanence to the things that happen in the game, and the level of sort of like the shifting sands of whatever environment you're walking on. Like, I don't know how they did that. That's really, really, really cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, before we go into the story, because I know we're going to get there, I do want to point out
explained it. There was exploding ghosts.
He
like,
crushed
what more
it.
Do you need?
Okay. Well, let's say the end of it, and I don't know, the moral fiber of the game. I think this game's best comparison is Demon's Souls, not the Dark Souls comparison. And it's like positive Demon's Souls. And by that, I mean the joy of Demon's Souls. For people who don't know much about it, it was the game that preceded Dark Souls. It is this role-playing game where you go through the environment similar to a Dark Souls game. But there are little ghost figures or opportunities to bring in people from other games or for them to leave messages that help you or hinder you, but mostly hinder you because people are trolls. And people had to kind of go out of their way to decide to do that. What I like about this game is Kojima figured out a way for it just to be positive and for it to be out of the player's hands in many ways, like what Fresh is describing with carving out your own path. So whether you intend to or not, you will help people. And I think that ultimately incentivizes you to participate willingly in doing good and not just being a troll, which is kind of an astonishing accomplishment in the world of video games. But just really quick, one problem, similar to Demon's Souls, boy, does it feel like a rough draft. Wow, does it not explain any of this to you at all? And it feels like an idea that will be much better used in whether it's a sequel to this game or another game franchise down the line.
I actually don't agree. I don't think the game itself feels like a rough... I mean, the story, don't get me wrong. Absolutely, 100%. And maybe that's what you're talking
about. The story's not a draft because a draft has some sort of coherence that can be built upon later. It's not.
It is a Kojima final printed draft. Like, it is not a draft of for a Kojima.
Let me talk
story.
About the gameplay real quick, and then we could rag on the story, yes, which is okay, pretty. Yes. Yeah. I think the gameplay is like the most cohesive idea that he's ever done. Whether it's the most fun idea he's ever done is another story entirely.
It's not.
But I think it's just like, as a full vision, it is like, it feels every bit like A, B, and C, like every component of it was like really thought out. And Plant's right, like it is extremely, extremely hard to troll in this game. There was one instance, I will say, some guy very smartly and obnoxiously perpendicularly parked a truck on my highway to the point where there was no way to get through on my bike. And I tried ramming it and the physics freaked out and I flew into the sky. So that was the only instance. But otherwise, I think it's brilliant.
Wait. I just want to highlight what you said. The physics freaked out and I flew into the sky. Rough draft. Rough draft because the shooting is bad. Rough draft because you get on a motorcycle and then you have to climb over rocks and you spend 30 minutes. It is.
But you're not supposed to drive. I mean, you're not like, supposed to drive a motorcycle on rocks. It's supposed to be bad.
What I'm saying is, no, I agree. I think... from a pure design point of view, you're like spot on. I think this is his most cohesive game by a long shot. But I'm talking about like literally the nitty gritty basics of things feeling correct.
That's my big, like, this is a game about, there is strategy in how you pack things on your back. Everything is physical. Everything exists, right? So if you have a ladder, you got to find a place to carry it. And you get like exoskeleton suits that unlocks like more carry weight and different ways to handle it. But if you overload one side of yourself, you know, it throws off your running. A big part of this game is using the triggers to kind of like counter your weight and lean left when you're going right and so on and so forth. You can also just squeeze both triggers to like, I don't know, clinch Norman Reedus's butt cheeks or whatever. And then he
it's
doesn't
clear.
Basically, like if you're having a hard time, you can just squeeze his butt cheeks and just be fine as long as his butt cheeks meter doesn't run out. And then I guess his monster energy.
And then you drink a
meter.
Monster energy to refill his butt cheeks wild. Meter. But, it makes perfect sense.
So that's it, right? That's the main thrust of the game is this very physical idea of being a courier who everything in the game exists and you have to be like very, very thoughtful about that. Not overloading yourself, but still like trying to take risks and making big deliveries when you can, big salvage runs when you can. The problem is that the physics model, the physics engine for this game is like, it's garbage. It is super, super bad. And I was trying to think of a way to like crystallize my thoughts on this. One of the things that your baby robot arm can do is sort of shoot out like a echolocation wave that will, in the same way that like... you know, ski trails are sort of measured by danger or by difficulty. It will do that for just the ground around you, right? So it'll show like, I forget the exact things, but like a red X on a surface if it's dangerous or slippery or you have a good chance of losing your footing, or a yellow triangle if it's like kind of tricky. So you got to be very thoughtful when you go through that. It feels so, it does not feel physical to just walk around this world. It feels completely mechanical, which is to say, like, when you walk over like a rocky patch, it doesn't feel like your feet are slipping in between the cracks of these rocks. It feels like the game is saying, like, well, you have this much weight on your back and you're walking on the cracky rocks, so now you're going to do the slipping and falling animation. It never feels like It never feels
good. That's interesting. Yeah. I totally disagree. I do a decent amount of hiking when the weather is nice, and this felt like the most authentic, like, actual legit hiking game I've ever played. And like,
sure, the way that they have turned that into a game mechanic makes sense, but it's not a physical interaction. And I think, like, if you need any evidence of that, just try and climb up a mountain, because you can kind of do it Skyrim
style.
That's
true.
Like, you can kind of just, like, point your body diagonally at a mountain and keep pressing X, and you will go up it, like, and it shows, like, there are no laws of physics in this game, and it's a game about
that,
like,
is how I climb mountains,
physical interactions.
To be fair,
this is like the least, I mean, there's so much more going on here, though, than, like, I don't want to discredit it, but I just don't think it takes away from, or at least it didn't for me. I mean, the game for me, once I bought into it, was much more about the macro of, well, let's see, I'm headed down south to drop something off there. Maybe I should pick up a couple more deliveries to make on the way. And if I do that, then I'm going to need the truck. And if I take the truck, I'm going to go ahead and take, they're called PCCs, things you use to generate larger items in the world. So I'm going to bring a couple of those to make bridges, because the truck doesn't do great with, like, big, you know, real rocky terrain. So if I need to cross any of that, then, oh, I need some metal to complete the bridge. And, like, I just found that process, like, weirdly sort of satisfying in a way that, like, it tickled a part of my brain that, like, games don't normally, when you, that require you sort of buying into the simulation. Like, the way you can sort of work on the world to make things easier for you. Like, I got really into, there are these auto pavers that you can feed resources into and will create a long stretch of road, which doesn't seem like a big deal to hear me say that, but it's like an amazing godsend when there's, like, terrible territory right around an area that you need to get to regularly. It's like a huge
time
saver.
And it addresses what Plant was talking about, where, like, you really shouldn't and can't drive a motorcycle over a bunch of rocks. And that's, you know, the roads element sort of addresses, like, okay, now you have a very fast way to travel around the world in a vehicle. So it's, like, tied in.
Because the items in the world are so tactile, and the like, everything in the world has a literal weight, it created a real buy-in with the world, where, like, I had so many moments where I would, like, fill up my truck and I'm ready to go make all these deliveries, and then I hit, like, it starts raining. And when it starts raining, that means that the ghosts are there, and ghosts can, like, grab your truck and throw you out of it and sink your truck and just make things terrible. So it's like, you are really in this scenario where it's like, God, I've been planning this run for 10 minutes. I can't, you know what? I'm just going to floor it and hope to God I don't hit any ghosts. And it's thrilling. And inevitably you do hit a ghost, and then it's like, well, shit. Okay. I guess I'm going to fight this squid to try to get back my truck. I don't know. I at first I was very annoyed by it, because I wanted it to be, and I think it's very natural to, like, just want it to be like other games, like to want it to be like anything else. But once I sort of understood where the challenge was, like, I've never died. I've been playing for 20 hours. Like, I've never had, like, a game over or a death screen. Everything is just, like, annoyance and frustration and, like, things getting messed up and not going the way I want them to, and having to, like, come up with a new plan on the fly. And that's really cool.
I have a quick recommendation for a lot of our listeners, I think, who might not or probably won't play this game, which is just watch it. Like, this is a great, I mean, just the prime cut type of video game to watch people play. One, because if you just literally flip through YouTube, you will find people doing truly bizarre things in the game. The other, if you watch a stream, it's It's batshit what happens in this game from a pure moment-to-moment level. And the boring parts, it's great to have somebody who is streaming it and can talk over them and keep you entertained. It is supremely watchable. And the things that are frustrating about it, like getting the controls right, they disappear if you're watching somebody who's just very good at video games.
In like 3 minutes, if we can talk story just for a second, I genuinely was super down with the concept. I feel like this game actually, a lot of people say that this game is like a slow starter. I think it opens super fucking strong. There is a cutscene at the beginning of this game that establishes the stakes and the rules of this world that I think is one of the best things Kojima's like ever done, where basically you're going on a mission, learning about this world and learning about the stakes of this mission, and shit goes so wrong, and it is so terrifying and so cool. I was like fully bought in. But the momentum of the game, it's separated into chapters, and like the first two chapters will take you no time to finish.
Well, if you, and then the game doesn't really tell you that it will. You could spend 20 hours in the first two chapters if you wanted to.
Okay, I may be missing.
Here's a hot pro tip. Get out of chapter two as soon as you can.
As quick as possible.
I heard that from a lot of people, and I was so glad I did, because there's a moment at the end of chapter two where they're like, hey, you should finish up all your side stuff.
Nope,
don't fucking finish your side stuff.
There's no
point. There are things that will make life easier the further into this you progress. But please don't stop.
But I also felt like the further into it you progress, the more it was like, I don't care that the character's named Die Hardman, right? Like, that doesn't bother me. I'm down with that, right? Like, Kojima, I'm down to clown with, like, this big Kojima energy that you put down. As soon as you start making me try to care about a character named Fragile who keeps talking about how she's not that fragile, I'm not going to go with you there, because that's dumb and it's stupid and it's not good. But, like,
Griffin, have you finished the game?
I swear to God, if you're about to
pull you will be ashamed of your words and deeds.
She eats so many magic bugs. Why are you doing this? I'm down with it. I'm down with the weirdness, and I always have been. I genuinely love that shit. I'm not like saying this, the story lost me because it's nonsensical. I'm saying it's that, like, as soon as it was like trying to make me take it seriously in a way that I'm not willing to meet these games halfway on, like, I was done.
Again, it will be, the story is so much better when somebody makes a 5-minute summary of all of the wackiness and you watch it in one fell swoop versus waiting for 5 hours at the beginning and another 10 hours at the end.
Can I just talk about the first, just to give people a sampling, can I talk about the first, like, what happens with your family in the first, like, hour? Can I just to, like, is that okay? That's pretty early, right? Okay, so if you don't want to hear this, you know, skip ahead 2 minutes. So your mom's a president.
President mommy.
And President mommy calls you to her office and says, hey, listen, I really need my boy here. My son, I need my boy. And you're like, all right, President mom, I'm on my way. You show up, President mom's like, actually, I'm dying, and I'm so sorry about that. Can you take my body to the incinerator super quick? No problem. Can take your mommy's body to the incinerator. You get back. There's your mommy is back.
Nope.
It's not your mommy. It is the same actress, Bionic Woman's Lindsay Wagner, but it's not your mommy.
Not the
it's
mommy.
It's your sister. It's not the mommy. It's your sister who looks like a younger mommy. But she's a hologram.
Because she's on the beach.
And she's the president now, except we're not telling anybody, I guess. It's very, that's not unclear. Your mom's
really
still
weird
in all, like, the propaganda or whatever. Your mom wanted to reunite America, and you're carrying on her dream and also trying to rescue your sister, I guess.
I'm down with all that. It's as soon as you're like, but let's get into this relationship between you and your sister and what makes that tick. No, I just want President Mom's sister. Like, that's where I'm, that's what I want from you. No deeper.
They're also
this
a
far,
little
no
bit,
further.
A little too close. A little bit too close for brother and sister is what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, that's its own kettle of fish.
You'll be ashamed of your words.
I beat it. Indeed. I know. They're still a little too close.
So, eight out of ten stars. I think we can all agree on this one that it is 8 out of 10 stars.
I can't be done talking about Death Stranding. Can we talk about combat?
We will have so much time to talk about Death Stranding during our Game of the Year conversation, because I have no doubt it is. Just so everybody, especially people who are new to this show, know, Justin is what I like to call a fan of the busted puppies, the puppies that are at the bottom of the litter box. And Death Stranding is—they're
in the bottom of the litter box. That's how busted they are. Is somebody put them in a litter box at the bottom of it? And Justin still loves that puppy so much.
I'm a fan of celebrating people that are trying to do something like novel. And for me, like, that's what this. I mean, beyond anything, like, that's what this game is. And There are many terrible things about it. The if I could just 10 seconds, the UI is absolutely mind-boggling. The idea that, like, I don't mind having to fuck around with cargo, but when I'm fighting the UI to get the cargo, the fact that there's separate menus to recycle your items and store your items and reload your cargo, when that should all just be like one screen that you're doing all of that on, is mind-boggling. The other thing I'll say, huge annoyance, every time you do almost anything, there is like a 5-second cutscene, right? So if you make a delivery, there's this 5-second cutscene of watching the guy from Walking Dead put boxes on a thing. It's like, I'm a finite being
if you
on
take
this
a shower,
planet. I can't.
There's no joke. I just watched
there's
this video the
five,
other day.
There's
there are five cutscenes in just taking a shower. It's him.
And you can skip them, but you have to press pause and go over to skip and press X for a 5-second cutscene. Kojima, let
him
me press the button,
in the shower,
man.
Him turning the shower on, him looking up at the water, him looking into his own soul, and him walking out of the shower with a towel. That's five
cutscenes. Grenades getting made out of his sweat and body juices. That's a different cutscene. This game kicks ass. 8 out of 10 stars. Let's go to the break.
So I think we can all agree that this is the start of something big. This whole Strand genre is huge, and it's changed the face of everything. Before this, guys, I gotta say, I just liked these first-person shooters. I liked these big, you know, dumb, you know, military shooter, Doom shooter, shooting aliens and monsters, and I got my rocks off like that. But this has made me stopped, and this has made me thanked, and I'm wondering if there's other sort of games that we can give the Strand treatment.
Do you want to define the Strand treatment before we dive in?
Sure. Do you know about the
we
big...
We did spend 20 minutes talking about it
right.
20 minutes ago.
I think it's got to be all the components that make Death Stranding Death Stranding. The physical interaction of carrying all of your shit. Bringing America back together is so important. Make America connected again is a thing that they say a lot.
Make America connected again.
I know. I understand what you mean. Something honestly springs right to mind. You know, I love Pokemon. Griffin, I know you love Pokemon. The other two are sort of up in the air. But the one thing that I've thought that it's always been missing is the realism. And now look, I'm not looking for you to have to carry around your 600 Pokemon. You know, I understand they need to live in the PC. You've only got your 6 that you can carry around with you. That makes perfect sense. But the 6 really should be to scale. Like Charizard needs a ball that could fit Charizard. Snorlax, you name it. So at this point, I feel like there has to be some sort of like ball carrying mechanism where you've got 6 Pokeballs that are about 10 feet wide straight up on your back.
Yeah.
And then every time you have to throw one, it's kind of like a momentum thing where you have to roll them off and they boulder down a hill.
It's inherently Gigantamax is what you're saying. Snorlax... A bulked up Snorlax is in the competitive meta right now. That would not be the case if you had to lug this big man
big
everywhere
ass.
In a big, big ball. I think Rattata would have a big comeback.
Love it.
I would say same vein, I would say Animal Crossing. Death Stranding is kind of Animal Crossing already, right? But instead of somebody like, apples, somebody's like, hey, we need some of your piss bombs down here because it's getting spooky. Animal Crossing, you know, I catch a big squid down at the beach. I don't just tuck that in my fucking pocket. What? I carry that thing on my back and I wait for like a duck friend to be like, you got a squid because we need it to survive. And you can, you know,
just seeing
give
a
squid
like draped across your adorable animal, like it's a cape. Oh, sounds phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'm so in for that.
I don't think my elephant friend would be like, Mr. Mayor, how are you doing this morning? What's up? Ha ha ha. You want to go lift weights? If he saw me carrying 3 actual axes on my body, I don't think that would get the warm sort of how do you do?
I think for me, it would be GoldenEye. Because, I mean, for all of the sci-fi stuff, Death Stranding is about, you know, bringing some realism back to game. Like, how hard is it to walk? You know, do you set up a ladder? So if we did that with GoldenEye, having the real technology of a super spy in like 1990, whenever, means that you just have to carry around one of those like 30-pound desktop computers if you want to do any hacking. If you want to, you know, travel to Russia, you just sit on a plane for 12 hours.
Oh, I love that.
That's
you
good.
Have, like, the option to read some magazines. By the time that, you know, James Bond gets, you know, flirting with the woman at the bar, he's like, this is nice, but I'm going to go to bed. I'm so tired. Very long day.
I am carrying 11 knives right now. I have 11 throwing knives in my body. So you tell me, like, how that works safely. The only thing I can think is he's holding them out in front of himself, like walking very, very carefully.
Here's my pitch. It's Madden. So when you tackle somebody, mm-hmm. right? A lot of times when you knock over a defender, they just sprawled out on the ground. Oh, no. But think about the ramifications of your actions. Now, when you knock someone over, you have to pick them up and put them on your shoulder. And you've got to carry them with the ball. And if you get another guy, you knock another guy down. Well, I'm sorry, friend. You got to put him on your shoulders, too. And then if other people in their games knock down players, then you'll see them in your world. And you could pick up their ghost players for bonus points, okay? And then at the end of the end zone, you take the football in the end zone, you look down, it is a baby. You've been carrying a baby the entire time.
I do want to say,
baby points,
when you mentioned,
or BPs, as we call them.
I did want to say, when you mentioned the ramifications of tackling someone, I definitely jumped right to CTE, which was pretty horrifying, and I'm glad you didn't go there, but I'm glad I did.
Hey, by the way, what are BTs? I've been playing for 20 hours, and I don't know what the acronym of the main bad guy in the game is.
It stands for Beached Things.
Fuck, I wish I didn't know. I take it back. I take it all back. We're recording these episodes early, so we don't have interactions from you, the listeners, but we desperately want that. We have an email address. It's mail@besties.fan. If you want to send us something right now, what we'd love to hear from you is your games of the year. So what is your number one game of the year and a sentence about why it is the game of the year? You can send that to mail@besties.fan, and we'll incorporate that into our end of the year extravaganza that we all love to do.
Anybody been playing anything else other than Death Stranding, which I know we're all 24/7 on?
Yes, I have been playing a game called A Short Hike, which I didn't know anything about, but I'd seen people talking about it, and just looking at the graphics of it, kind of looked like it was going to be another one of those like super emo like indie games with like really cute characters, but then they start talking about like really grim topics, and I get like kind of depressed. It does get a little bit real, but by and large, it's like a very sweet exploration-centric game. You're like in this camp, and it's like wide open, and you can like go wherever you want. You're like a bird, and it's got this just like very cool looking kind of PS1 era lo-fi art style, but it's all in 3D.
This looks radical. This
looks
super cool.
Just like, it immediately grabbed me. Like, it was such a palate cleanser from like the dark, harsh world of Death Stranding.
What's the platform?
It's on PC. I believe it's on Mac and Linux as well. It's super short. I mean, based on the name, you should probably guess that, but it probably only takes like an hour or two at most. But I was like totally smitten by it and like played through it in one sitting. I'm just like totally delightful, lighthearted game if you're looking for something cute.
What I love about video games is any other medium, a book, a film, TV show, you'd say, the main character is a bird. And people would be like, oh. But you were just like giving a description and then offhand, and you're like, yeah, and you're like, you're a bird. And yeah, it's like, yeah, sure, sure. Of course you're a bird.
It's magical. It's a magical game. Realism.
After you play A Short Hike, which you should prioritize, dear listener, you should play Lonely Mountain Downhill, which kind of pairs perfectly with A Short Hike, in that they're both games about movement and the serenity of nature. Lonely Mountain Downhill is a dirt road biking game, and there's nothing really like it. It kind of controls, it's isometric view, but it controls a little like the Warthog, the car in the Halo games, where whichever direction you're steering with your joystick is the direction that the bike goes. And there are challenges. You can add challenges to get down the hill at a certain speed or yada, yada, yada. But really the pleasure of the game is just gradually working your way down a giant mountain on a bike. There are incentives to actually find these kind of pit stops and take in nature. It has this really low poly aesthetic that I kind of was not into when I saw pictures of it. But combined with the music and the vibe, it just feels really chill. And refreshingly low stakes. It's the game that I have been going back to probably the most all season.
Been playing Orangutwang lately. You guys down on Orangutwang?
I have no idea what that is.
Oh, man, it's this great...
Platform, a coffee
table. This is a board game for little children that I got for my little boy. And in it, there's this elastic cord hanging between two palm trees, and there's this orangutan, and he hangs from that cord. And you have to hang bananas and lizards and bats on him, but if you hang too much, the cord just launches upwards like a fucking monkey crossbow, and all the bananas go shooting all over, and it scares the boy every time.
Oh, it's like Mr. Bucket.
It's kind of like Don't Wake Daddy. Any sort of fear-based board game where things snap and explode and send bananas flying into the air and scare the boy. But for us adults, huge competitive element. I'm looking for a more pro scene a circuit I can join. I'm really good at hanging the bananas on the monkey, and it does scare the boy every time, and that's it can be a fun scare.
You know, there are people that are like terrified of balloons and the prospect of them popping.
Yeah, it's like that.
And I now know where that comes from.
Yeah, it's because of me.
Let me sing my jingle one sec. Idle Game Watch. It's like a game that you don't play. Idle Game Watch. Just waste your time away. If you've got a tab that's got some work, then click on over. Don't be a jerk and play an idle game. It's the Idle Game Watch. Hi, everybody. This is Idle Game Watch, where I talk about games that are designed to waste your time. This week's installment is Incromancer.
Sorry.
Yeah. You're not totally wrong. Incromancer is on Kongregate, is in browsers. You can play it for free right now. And it is a game where the screen is a very lo-fi village full of people, and you are able to click to deploy a zombie when your energy is full, and your energy is constantly refilling, so you're constantly spawning more zombies. The zombies then eat the villagers and give you blood and brains that you use in the shop to upgrade the incredible power of your zombies. There are other resources that you collect, like bones and what have you, and those are used to upgrade your crypt where the zombies come from. And it is mainly about the satisfying feeling of seeing, like, starting with like three or four zombies, and then eventually having a horde of these little green zombies sweeping across the screen, just destroying the village. And it is thoroughly entertaining if you like an idle game. You can set up stuff to where, you know, the zombies are spawning on their own, and you know, you don't have to stay constantly watching it, which makes it an idle game. But it is it's a really good one of these, and it's a pleasant little diversion.
I had a question. Is there a closing theme?
That was the Idle Game Watch.
Thank you.
It's much quicker.
Well, this is the besties. We're back in a big way. We hope that you've enjoyed our bold new genre. This has been a Strand podcast. The first few episodes here, you can listen, you know, wherever the hell you want to. But we are happy that we are able to revive the show with the help of Papa Spotify. Go ahead and get that Spotify. Get subscribed down on Spotify, because starting next year, 2020, all of our episodes are going to be up on the Spotify platform. You don't got to be a premium member. You don't got to pay anything. Just find us there on Spotify and check us out. And again, thank you to Spotify for helping us revive this show. I have missed doing this immensely, and I'm so glad that we're able to get going again.
Yeah, I do want to also mention there might be some people that are like a little bit grumpy that we're exclusive to Spotify. Maybe you don't want to install a separate app. To those people, I would say this show would absolutely not exist were it not for Spotify. The fact that you were hearing it weekly is 100% Spotify being enthusiastic.
Your options for listening to it are Spotify or nothing.
Yes.
Our options for making it are Spotify or nothing. It is a complete level... one to one.
Yes.
Don't be grumpy.
Don't be grumpy, and don't wait. Go find us there on 2020. Because again, before 2020, all of our episodes are going to be weekly up on Spotify. So go ahead and lock it in. And I think that's it.
You want to take us out, Juice?
yeah, thank you so much for listening. Be sure to listen to us next week when we will join you again for the besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?
The Besties is a Spotify original podcast in association with Vox Media. The show is edited by Jelani Carter. And our theme song is by Ian Dorsch.
Besties!